So, you know, there is something like a knot between possibility and impossibility, which is the great framework of artistic creation. We have to do something to create a material thing, an artificial thing, which can be a performance, an installation. A thing is not by necessity a painting, a sculpture, and so on. Thing is multiplicity, absolutely, with absolute indetermination. But we have to create something like that in a way to inscribe the an inexistent of the world. That is the point which is new. It is like in revolutionary politics, when, after Marx, we have to realize the existence in the political field of proletariat. Finally, it's something like the inscription of an inexistent. But it's a general rule for a work of art that we have to inscribe an inexistent of the world in something which is an artificial creation. But we know that properly it's impossible to inscribe the inexistent because the inexistent does not exist. So we have to inscribe finally the impossibility of the inscription. But the inscription, the concrete inscription of the impossibility of inscription of the inexistent is really a form of its inscription. And it's precisely the form of its inscription, the only possible form. It is why art is a question of form, because it's the form of the impossibility of inscription of the inexistent as a possible form of its inscription. An example, very simple. Take, for example, the last paintings of Claude Monet, the Ninfea, I don't know when, Ninfea. What is the English pronunciation of the Ninfea of Monet? But, maybe. Yes. Yeah. There are very big paintings of Monet, which are just flowers on water. Just flowers on water. And we all know these paintings, the great paintings. There is nothing else. So it's just like if you want to reproduce not really something, but a pure surface of water and flowers without anything, precisely. You have a creation of an artificial surface, which is a very huge painting, to inscribe not things in light and colors, but the light itself and the pure production of colors by the infinite division of light. So you want to inscribe not things in a definite light and things with their colors. No. The goal of Monet is to directly inscribe on the artificial surface of the painting the light and colors as the process of division of light. But light and its division does not exist at the surface of water. What exists are things and glints. So Monet has to force the painting to express the inexistent. The inexistent, which is not things in light, but light as a thing. And finally, it's a failure. It's a failure. When we see the painting, we understand that it's not really light as a thing. It's the impossibility of something like that. But this failure is precisely the victory of painting. This failure is the glory of painting as such. And it's exactly our definition. Create an artificial thing with the possibility of give something like an existence to the inexistent, and the proof that it is impossible. But finally, this impossibility is a new form. This impossibility is a creation of a new form, of a new possibility in painting as such. And so, when I was speaking at the beginning of my talk of speaking the unspeakable, we have here a generalization of all that. Finally, in the work of art, we have to create the possibility of inscription of the inexistent like a form of its impossibility. And that is the tension of every artistic creation. That is its proper tension. And it is why we always can say that the art are something like a failure. But the failure has a victory. Why it's always a failure? It's because the inscription of the inexistent is not really possible. But why it is a victory? It is because you create a new form in which the impossibility of the inscription of the inexistent is something like a novelty. You create a new form in which the impossibility of the inscription of the inexistent is something like a novelty. A novelty. I can conclude about the question of political signification of all that. That is, the political signification of the very paradoxical nature of the work of art. A new form has a new articulation between what is possible and what is impossible. And if you think a second, you can understand clearly that a new form is always something like that. A new form is not only a new composition of colors and so on. A new form is something like a new sizing of the real. And the new sizing of the real is always like a new configuration of the relation between being and appearance, between being and existence, finally. But this new regulation between being and existence is something like a new articulation, a new relationship, if you want, between possibility and impossibility, between which is possible and which is impossible. But about what? About the inexistent. So the three fundamental terms in the work of art are first the inexistent as a point specific to the relation between being and existence. Second, the possible is it possible to inscribe the inexistent? And it's really the desire of art, always the desire to inscribe the inexistent. And third, the impossible. It's impossible. But when you have all the three terms, inexistent, the desire to inscribe the inexistent, and the impossibility of the final realization of this desire, you have rest. And this rest is a new form, a new moment of the history of art as such. Now, what is the signification of all that in a general political vision? Yesterday, in my talk of yesterday in another place, I was speaking of the first political signification of art today, which is that the creation, the artistic creation, is beyond the place. It's like the great poet Wallace Stevens is saying, something which is without place, something which is a description without place. And this notion of without place is for me a possible support for a new political orientation. Because the question of politics today is, in my conviction, to go beyond action inside the distribution of places. And so to define something like action without places. And if art is description without places, we have maybe something like an abstract relationship between the two. And today, we find that another possible definition of the work of art, after description without places, is to express the inexistent, to create new forms with a desire to express the inexistent, and so to give something like an artificial existence to the inexistent. And also to show that the real of this desire, the real of this situation, is what does not exist, in fact. So in the work of art, the essential question is not what exists, but what does not exist. Because the real goal is to express the inexistent of the world. And we are, naturally, to go with many things which exist. But, finally, the very central desire concerns the inexistent. And the inexistent, you can remember that it is what does not appear in the world. It's what is, something which is, but does not really appear. And it's the point where thinking in the work of art as such, because the work of art is a thinking. It's not only a production, it's also a reflection, thinking, and so on. And if really the work of art creates the fiction, but the real fiction of the inscription of the inexistent, the thinking in the work of art is the same thing that the pure real which is outside. If you want, if the work of art is really the possible inscription of the inexistent as something which is impossible but real, the thinking properly, if you want the artistic subjectivity, is the same thing, is not discernible of the real of what is outside. And that is a possible definition of a real work of art. When you create something where thinking is the same thing that something which is outside. If you want a real work of art, is a point where inside and outside are not discernible, where inside and outside are the same thing. The thing which precisely is the inscription of the inexistent. And probably that is of great political importance. Probably a new political process and sometimes political process in history. A true political process is probably a process of becoming creation, an action, collective action, in which we cannot precisely distinguish between inside and outside, where there is something absolutely immanent. And when something is absolutely immanent, we cannot really distinguish between inside and outside. And it's something which is not in the determination by the enemy. Naturally, probably there are enemies. But the process as such has not its determination outside. So it's not determined by the enemies. It's determined by itself. It's completely affirmative. And when something is completely affirmative, when something is a real creation, as we see in the work of art, we cannot distinguish between something which is inside, like a representation, subjectivity, and so on, and something which is outside, like a body, material, and so on. The body is a good example. The place of body in the contemporary art is determined by the fact that precisely artists search with the body something which is neither inside nor outside, but a place where inside and outside are the same. And we can understand completely this point if we are thinking of the question of inscription of the inexistent. Because inscription of the inexistent is the point where possibility and impossibility, inside and outside, being an appearance, being an existence, are the same in the work itself. In the work itself. And so, we can say that contemporary art is a possible matrix, something like that, for political thinking. First, to go beyond the politics of places, have in politics something nomadic, something beyond the distribution of places. And second, have the point where in thinking itself, in political action as such, there is no distinction between inside and outside. And when thinking is the real of what is at the beginning outside. Yesterday, my talk was largely a commentary of a great poem of Wallace Stevens, which precisely has for its title Description Without Places. And so I conclude by a quotation of Wallace Stevens as a thing of continuity, of my talks. The soul, l'âme, the soul, is composed of the external world. The soul is composed of the external world. What is probably a good definition of the artistic subjectivity? Its soul, its interiority, is strictly composed of the external world. And finally, inside and outside are in the same point, which is the inexistent as such. Thank you. Remark. When you propose a new framework, it's always difficult to have as a first question, but yes, but what is the connection with other things? Your connection with Lacan, with Deleuze, with Heidegger, and so on. In fact, there is no reason to connect that with imaginary, symbolic, or real in Lacan. Why? It's another level. There is no theory of being in Lacan. There is a theory of the subject as such. And for explain the Borromeus note of the subject, we have to distinguish between symbolic, real, and imaginary. But if you want a comparison, a strict comparison with Lacan, you have the hypothesis that Lacan is a philosopher. Or he is not. He is an anti-philosopher, explicitly. So we can say sometime that in a field of experience we encounter something which is near the category Lacanian of the real, but we cannot have a global comparison. It's absolutely impossible.
Yes, I
understand, but you have to take the complete framework. So in the complete framework, you have a level which is purely abstract, which is a level of pure multiplicities, and you have another level which is completely qualitative with intensity of existence, degrees of existence, and so on. And naturally, existence as such, that's the hype, if you want. Existence as such is the correlation of the two. And if you have separation between the pure abstract level and the level of existence, actually you have something which does not go well. But we have to understand that the pure multiplicity as being just qua beings, so with indetermination, in fact, have to be considered in the field of the concrete world. So immediately, with degrees of intensity, death, life, and so on, and becoming, and events, and so on. And so we have always to understand that the field where we can think about being as such, if you want, is properly the mathematical field, exclusively. And after that, if you want to speak about the world, the concrete world, and so on, yes. we have to...
Bring it. Is that all right?
Concrete world of technology. And we have to understand the multiplicity with their concrete indexation on a qualitative level.
Yes.
Mais there is a dark corner. Where? Where?
Actually, the top.
Well.
World.
Yes.
Is for me still not clear. Mm. And so, I guess that is a very simple but also a very complicated question.
Yes.
So I guess I would ask if there are, in fact, many worlds, then are there, for each world, a different way of determining what is in existence, or do all worlds have the same law for determining what is existent and non-existent?
Yes. In searching the point of the difficulties, we could be a better Sherlock Holmes in saying what is exactly on the left of the paper, why T? It's a fatal in this T. What is T? It's no explanation at all. World, in fact, I don't say anything, but I say world, but T. T is for transcendental. T is for transcendental. And you cannot find that alone. Donc, T is for transcendental, and why? Because a world, in fact, is always the correlation between a collection of multiplicities. There are some features of this collection, but it's too complex. Maybe a collection of multiplicities and a transcendental field, which is a rule of distribution of degrees of intensities. And so if we have to define what is a world, we have first something which is in the multiplicity, a collection of multiplicity, an indeterminate collection of multiplicity, and something else, which is the transcendental, as a rule of distribution of degrees of intensity. And there is some general feature of a transcendental. For example, there is always a minimal degree, a maximal degree, and so on. But there is many types of transcendental. And it is why there is the possibility of different worlds. Finally, different worlds are not really different by the multiplicities which are in it, but by the structure of the transcendental. And so the difference between worlds is the difference between the intensity, the degrees of intensity of existence. The question of the different worlds, of the plurality of worlds, is a question of existence and not really a question of being. But the same being can be several worlds when it is simply associated with different degrees of existence. And so we can exist in the world, but we can also exist in another world. And it is because the transcendental distribution of degrees are not the same. And it is the explanation of world, in fact, and also T. I think your question is relative to, finally, to the problem of creation of new forms. I have said that when you create the possibility of inscription of the inexistent, you take always your material in some world. Maybe in not one world, but two or three or four. maybe, for example, in a plurality of languages. And in fact, we understand clearly that to inscribe the proper inexistent in a language is probably a good way to use another language too. Because we have a mixture of language which is something like the passage of one world to another world, and so a new possibility to inscribe the inexistent proper to a multiplicity. And so it's not only a possibility to have different language in the mouth and to find the real, but is often a real means. And it is, in fact, why Samuel Beckett and others, Joseph Conrad, make the choice to write in a new language, new for them. New language, Samuel Beckett in French, Conrad in English, and Nabokov in English too, and so on. It's not a pure contentious fact. It is a process to find in another way the possibility of a new form. If a form is what I say it is, that is finally a new relationship between what is possible and what is impossible in the direction of the inexistent. And you can understand immediately that what is possible and what is impossible is not the same if you are inside one language or inside a relationship between multiplicity of languages.
La description.
It's a question of relation between description without places and action without places. So, the question of relation between art and politics. If art is something like description without places and politics action without places. But it's not the same because when you have description without places, in the sense of Wallace Stevens, we have in fact creation of an artificial and sensible thing. That is description without place. That is something like a poem, something like a painting, something like an installation, something like a play, something like a movie. But you have always something like a space of inscription, which is an artificial space, and which is material, and that is, in fact, description without place. An action without place is something else. It's a collective determination. It's something which is not properly the creation of a new artificial concrete space, but modification of rules, like Stevens is saying, something like the construction of a new house, where, it's a magnificent expression of Stevens, where being together is enough. Being together is enough. That is politics. But it's another thing that art. So when I say that we can take lessons in contemporary art with the notion of description without places and with the notion of the point where thinking and outside are the same, it's not a direct relationship. It's a relationship by philosophy, something like that. We can find concepts of something in artistic creation for political action. But the difference subsists.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, I think I think when we are in the political process, we have also the question of the inexistent, certainly. For example, proletariat as a political inexistent and so on. But it's much more difficult to accept in the political field that the victory is a failure. That is the difference. In art, it's we in art we can. And it's a very specific characterization of art that in a great work of art, failure can be a victory because the rest, if you want, of the failure is a new form. And maybe the new form is not really the existence of the inexistent, but it's a new form. In a political field, we have a suspicion about that, because we know something like that. After, in the Leninist conception of politics, party, communist party, is also a new form. It's a new form, in fact. It has been a new form. And maybe there is something like an aesthetic deviation in this representation of politics. Big communist party as a fundamental form from revolution and so on. But the new form is something which is no so good than in the artistic creation. And so, probably today, after that sort of experience, which is strangely a formal experience, an aesthetic experience of politics, we know that failure has victory, is a possibility in art because, finally, the question of new form is fundamental. But you know also that in the political field, we cannot have the same identity between failure and victory, because if we have the same identity between failure and victory, finally the production is the production of a form, but a monstrous form, generally speaking. The last.
Tu comprends? Que l'action sans lieu va être le pouvoir.
Precisely, the question is that action without place cannot be identified by the question of power. It's a great change. It's a great change. So we have to understand it's not very simple, and it's something like a new experience that after the last century, a new political trend has to exist for itself, has a new house, has a new way to be together, has a new immanent process, and not always determined by the outside. And the power is something which, by definition, is outside. There is no possibility of an immanent power. The state power, the economic power, and so on, are by necessity external world. And we have to think them, we have to understand them, but we have not to put them in the very center of political process. So we can say, it's a very paradoxical expression, that we have to define something like politics without power. But it's a complex question. Thank you.